This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Earlier today, nurse Casey Hickox defied Maine state health officials by leaving her home and going for a bicycle ride with her boyfriend. Authorities in Maine are seeking a court order to keep Hickox in her home. She was quarantined last week against her will in New Jersey upon arrival from Sierra Leone, where she'd spent a month treating Ebola patients. Hickox has tested negative for the virus and insists that she is no threat to public health. So far, one person in the U.S. has died of Ebola. Three people who contracted the disease have been released after treatment, and a New York doctor is currently being treated. Given those small numbers, a number of health officials warn that the hysteria over Ebola may be a much more dangerous epidemic, citing, for example, the temporary shutdown of the Pentagon last week when a woman vomited in the parking lot, fear of people from all of the African continent, and other panicked responses. Marty Nemko is a writer, speaker, and host for KALW Public Radio in San Francisco. He wrote an article for Time Magazine's idea section called The Absurd Cost of Overreaction. And Marty Nemko, welcome to Word of Mouth.
My pleasure to be with you.
So we can guess from the title where you stand. What, to your mind, are some of the overreactive responses to the Ebola virus?
Well, almost all of it. There's only been one person who has died in America, and all the experts say that the probability of any kind of massive expansion of the disease in the United States is trivial, and yet we are spending literally billions of dollars on it for everything from screening every healthcare professional to having committee after committee decide how much screening should there be of passengers coming in from where. We don't think probabilistically.
Tell me about what you mean by probabilistically. This is something that also came up in a Psychology Today article you wrote about the response. What does that mean?
We tend to think viscerally. We tend to think, oh my God, it's a horrible disease. It's a very high fatality rate. So we've got to do everything we can to stop it, without asking ourselves, what is the cost benefit and the risk reward? For example, every time we expend a dollar or every time we expend an hour of our time, there is a cost, what we otherwise could be spending the dollar or the hour of time on. And so, for example, we've moved in this country to a major move toward bicycling, and there are tons of deaths and maimings as a result of bicycling, and almost no money is spent on trying to get the public to be more aware of bicyclists as we drive. We could, with far greater certitude, save more lives by focusing on that than the massive response we're having to Ebola. That's more probabilistic thinking. Where is the dollars and where is the time likely to make a bigger difference?
But this is a serious public health issue. I mean, we've watched on the news how it's devastated people in three countries, primarily in West Africa. So people are afraid. How do we get off of the fear, the panic button, and actually look more probabilistically, I'll use your term, at the science?
No. The probability is what it is. Here in America, is the probability high that we in America are going to get more benefit from spending millions and billions of dollars of money and time trying to stem the spread of Ebola here? The fact that it's in Guinea and West Africa has little relationship to that. We tend to viscerally say, oh my God, look what's going on there. And frankly, the media has been truly the perpetrator of this. It has fanned the flames of this rather than themselves thinking probabilistically.
Well, we do know some cases of severe overreaction to students who had moved from Rwanda to Burlington, New Jersey, were kept home from school. Now, Rwanda, no cases at all of Ebola, thousands of miles away. Parents pulled their kids out of a Mississippi school because of a concern that the principal had visited Zambia, 3,000 miles away from the affected West African countries. Now, Marty, you offer examples of how panic has guided U.S. response to previous events or tragedies at great cost. And what are some examples of those?
My favorite example, of course, is the shoe bomber. The shoe bomber put a plastic explosive in and tried to blow up a plane. Every terrorist knows that we now make every single human being take off their shoes. What are the odds that a terrorist was going to choose that as their modus operandi? And yet we continue to lose millions of minutes of passenger time and the indirect cost to society. People just are ever less likely to want to travel because of the ever greater incursions and the greater time it takes, all because of something that has a near zero probability of occurring.
Well, we're looking at the forcible quarantines under New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of people who are returning from West Africa, in the case of Casey Hickox, a nurse who had served in Sierra Leone. But Andrew Cuomo, for his part, said, better safe than sorry. Now, would you want to be the person on whose watch a shoe bomber did decide to slip through and not take his shoes off? And I'm assuming it's a he. Would you want to be the governor of a state who let somebody who was infected with Ebola into the state?
That is really the word, better safe than sorry, is the most anti-intellectual, really, I hate to use the word, but stupid CYA approach to anything. If we are insisting on maximum safety, we should never leave our houses because we might get bitten by a rattlesnake if we leave. It is a CYA strategy.
Well, what does CYA mean, by the way? I don't know.
Cover your ass. Because, you know, no politician wants to appear to have done nothing. And for the one in a 10 million chance that somebody in Arkansas is going to get Ebola, we are willing to reallocate millions and billions of dollars, not billions in the case of Arkansas, but millions of dollars away from something that would more certainly do good. Because we're afraid, oh, better safe than sorry. We can't control all risk. We must probabilistically assess, where are our dollars and time best spent?
All right, let me get to the money for a second. The WHO has estimated that it will take nearly $1 billion required to fight Ebola globally. So far, the Obama administration has delivered and or committed about $750 million. But even if it doesn't ever reach U.S. shores, is it not worth dedicating that level of resources to help stop the disease in Guinea, in Sierra Leone, in Liberia, the three West African countries where thousands have died?
There we get into a gray area. What is the value of a human life? What is the opportunity cost? Right now, we have billions of kids in Africa who are not immunized against diseases we know that are curable. We're not spending the money on that. I'm not against, you know, that's a tough call. I do think the worldwide community, because the African infrastructure, health infrastructure is so paltry and the loss of human life is so great, then yes, can I argue against that? No, now we're in the gray areas, but to spend the hundreds of millions of dollars that we're spending here in this country to stop Ebola in this country, that seems clear.
Marty Nemko, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Marty Nemko, career coach, writer, speaker, and host of Working with Marty Nemko on KALW Public Radio in San Francisco. We do have a link to read his article in Time Magazine called The Absurd Cost of Overreaction. That's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And the panic continues. We ponder the question, where would you go if a zombie apocalypse hit New Hampshire? We'll stake out a spot when Word of Mouth continues after a short break.